Listen up! You are now listening to News with My Fiance with DJ Ambush and Morgan Jones!
I'm DJ Ambush and Morgan Jones, and Ambush is trying to silence a black woman on this Thursday morning. Michelle, can you hear me?
You're coming through pretty clear.
AJ?
You're pretty clear. Yeah.
You just turned yourself up.
Well, you're...
I heard it.
Okay. Wow.
I mean, what a just a wild thing to do to start the show. Thank you, Billy Joe. Hey, Morgan's microphone isn't being clear on the air. Saboteur. Is there a saboteur?
There is not. Keep going.
No, you did see, because I think you do know that you're being a saboteur.
I'm not being a saboteur.
Oh, okay. Are we clearing up at all? Is Morgan's mic better?
It looks like it's coming through pretty
Ambush
good.
Ambush says by all indications on his end.
You guys are rapscallions, man. I'll tell you that.
Michelle said we're both good now.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Billy Joe.
You guys are awesome. It's important. Listen. People want to hear you. All right?
Well, you know, the show is a couple of things to people, you know? Oh, I can't pretend to know. Oh. I just know I'm part of it.
I thought you had some bullet points ready for me there. The show is a couple of things. Ooh.
Oh, go on.
Go on. Yeah. Tell me.
Nah, I'm not that good.
Well, you're a little bit better, and I'm sure everyone is happy to hear your voice. We went without you on Monday night. Oh, my. Oh, me, oh, my. But me and Los pulled it off. But it's not the same. You know, everyone knows that. Show ain't the same with you gone. Your mouth is agape. What happened?
Well, this message here says, my actual morning message is, thank goodness you have Mondays so you can be free to malign.
Wow.
And I'm going to say that is one of my favorite parts of Mondays. But Michelle, are you telling me that I was maligned? Well, this Monday when I was migrained?
No. Redefine malign. I'll make sure I'm getting this right.
Oh. Did you say anything? Did you try and impeach my character? Did you
Did you
put something on my jacket that doesn't belong?
I don't believe that happened, but I do believe there may have been some would consider it edgy comedy, controversial comedy, something to the effect of there not being enough men with microphones. You know, we fell down that rabbit hole. I'll admit it. I'm sorry. We fell down that rabbit hole and things got a little spirited.
Not enough men with microphones is what happened on Monday.
If I can have 15 seconds. There just aren't. Men are around. There's loneliness. Of course, we have heard of the loneliness epidemic. But have you tried to pair those people with microphones? Do enough of them have the ability to get their thoughts out to the masses? To other men who might need to hear it? Men plus mics. That was my 15 seconds. That's all I had. So yeah, that's what Monday was like. You missed a good show.
Oof. Fiancés, I am on day 5, I think. Is that right, Ambush?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
Sunday. I'm on day 5 of one of the worst roller coaster migraines I've had in a while. And you're probably tired of hearing those kind of things. Apologies. This is what my life is. Anybody else getting whacked around by the pressure out there? And how do we fight back? Can someone tell me what you do when apparently you are allergic to the environment that you live in? And by environment, I do mean atmosphere. Yeah, it's been a rough one. And if you are a person who suffers in any way from migraines, you or sort of neurological events, because I think this is true for people that have seizures, no matter the kind. Mm-hmm. The recovery is like harrowing. you don't look injured.
No.
So
you sure feel it though.
People assume you're fine. And you're not fine. And if you're anything like me, sorry, not trying to give do the TMI, but lots of the
projectile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of that.
Uh-oh. My insides are outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It goes down.
All of the muscles hurt that you don't know exist until you exert them. And
core is on fire. Throat's on fire.
All of it.
Yeah.
My neck hurts all the way around. Like I've done some sort of, you know, strangulation from the inside.
Michelle snitching.
Oh, what she said?
You were not slandered on Monday, but there was some foolishness that you would have otherwise prevented. The accuracy. Well,
you tell us every Thursday that you're not maligning anyone because of being good airwaves. Doing my best. Doing my best not to get kicked off the radio for saying certain, for maligning. And I will malign.
She's our Duchess of Communication.
So true.
Oh my God.
But yeah, it's been a rough few days, and today is no peach. I'll say that, but it is the best day so far.
No, that's right. What does Pop say? I'm vertical.
Yes, if you ask my dad how he's doing, he says, I'm vertical, which means he's alive and he can walk, I think. Right. I don't know. Right. So he's doing the best he can. But also, that's not what he's doing. He's not just vertical. He's running around and he's looking for stuff and he's trying to leave and he's trying to abscond. And
yeah, for sure.
Right now, we're just trying to, you know, keep him in the house and eating all the food.
It's a blessed life to have children that'll look after you this way when you are in the throes of trying to figure out not only what day of the week it is, but what time of the day and why this TV keeps breaking.
Okay, can I give this story really quick?
I think you should.
I don't know. And you guys tell me if you've had it. If you don't want any of these stories, just tell me enough, Morgan.
You've had it.
I've had it. I don't want to hear about this anymore. But I feel like some people, like if you aren't having to deal with this, high five and big hugs. If you are, sometimes it just feels good to hear that somebody else is going through that same thing or a version of it.
Yeah. Solidarity is real, man.
It is.
Elder care solidarity is real.
So I have been IT, you know, tech support for my parents forever.
Which we can all relate to, right?
Yes. In some
our generations.
Some way. And I do mean forever. Now, mind you, my dad is the one who taught me like how to install cable and to run wiring from this room to the, you know, like.
So what was the tech in which it transferred from him to you? What was the first thing that you were like, oh, I got this, Dad.
I think maybe it was like fixing my grandma's cable one day. And he was like, you're going to have to get Morgan to look at that. And I was like, have Morgan look at it. You taught me how to do this. And I don't remember how old I was at that point, but I do remember thinking, are you just trying not to do it? Dad, like, you just don't want to get behind the TV. Right. Okay, fine. And I did it. And then I became IT at my grandma's house. Because guy. Then, oh, well, Morgan's the only one who can fix the TV. I became that. Yeah. I would change the clocks.
There were a bunch of remotes over there, too.
There's a lot of remotes at my grandma's house. They did not have the same issue, though.
No. Didn't clear. Your grandma knew which remote
she knew used. Which remote went to which TV. Nick Jones, on the other hand, likes to take the remote with him. You know, I'm in the living room. I'm getting up. I'm going to look for something. I have no idea what I'm going to look for because I have dementia.
I understand the rationale behind that, though, right? This remote that he's been using for hours is established as the working remote. So
I want better for everybody
you
here.
Keep the working remote on you. Because if anything, I know this one works.
Okay, well, it works for the TV that you were at. It doesn't work for the TV that you're going to.
Correct.
And I don't understand the idea of take the remote with me to another room. And understand that this has been years.
Yeah.
I have labeled. I have covered. I have hidden. I have. Like, there are so many different things I've done with these remotes. Somehow he's able to use the most complicated remote, which makes absolutely zero sense. That becomes a pointer, and it's a point and click, and it's the thing is weighted, and it's never the pointer never goes exactly where you're right, wanting it to around. Go. It's floating around. Somehow he could do that, but that Fire Stick remote just breaks his brain. Which button am I supposed to push? The one that looks like a house? I don't see it. Great. Anyway. Yesterday, I had missed a few days of my caretaking duties because of said migraine. And yesterday I get there and it is just a plethora of moments, of the senior moments that happen.
Back to back.
First he says, yeah, something wrong with this TV. Which is, just so y'all know, there's never anything ever, wrong with the TV.
Ever.
The TV works perfectly.
Has been.
You know, maybe you dropped that remote. Maybe those batteries fell out and maybe you put them in backwards. Not what happened this time.
No.
Somehow, the TV was unplugged from the back of the TV. Not plugged into the wall. Not that part of the plug. But the side that goes in the middle and up the TV. I say, man, the TV is unplugged. How'd that happen? Don't look at me. Sir, there's only... I said, well, I wasn't here. He goes, well, it wasn't me.
Oh.
Well, I think maybe, probably, definitely you. I said, so do you think that mom got up and walked over here? Well, no.
He's like, I would not have you impugn my wife.
Like, she definitely didn't do it. Okay, so.
Somebody else in here with you, bud?
Dad, that leaves you. Hey, I don't know what to tell you. I do. You unplugged the TV somehow.
To tell you.
The I don't know what to tell you and the I don't knows. Listen. I am trying to get to the bottom of something. Please. Please do not give me. I don't know what to tell you.
Hey, sorry, can't help you.
My man, it's you. He has no idea, though. He has no idea how he unplugged that TV. And I'll tell you this, no remote, no amount of great batteries in that remote are going to turn a TV on that's unplugged.
No.
And when I said that to him, he said, you got a good point. Thanks. Thanks, Dad.
Somebody said, what? Every room gets its own lightsaber. Carry that thing everywhere. Michelle says, oh, crap. Okay. In our bedroom, we have a remote on a retractable leash. Maybe you should put it on one of those
a badge lanyards. Michelle, I want to tell you that I bought that.
That's awesome.
I tried to employ that about 2 years ago. I think he just ripped it. Just ripped it right off. Right off. Like, it was there, it made sense, and then it wasn't.
I remember. We were like, we should do it like they have it in the hospital.
Exactly.
I remember that.
Yeah. And ripped it right off. And I don't know what that was, you know, when he becomes the Incredible Hulk, if it's because he's like, give me this remote, or if he forgot that it was, you know,
attached to something.
Attached to something. Ah, boy. But the remotes are an issue, as well as the batteries. He has a fixation with batteries, and I don't know if this is a dementia thing, but yesterday I said, Lily, how much money do you think Dad has spent on batteries?
Whoa.
Just like,
gotta go to the store, get a fresh pair.
Gotta go get some new batteries. I gotta go to Costco, gotta get the 40 pack of the AA's and the AAA's. I gotta get the, but you don't, because you have like, there was a shelf filled with battery when I started this venture. And now sometimes I find it in bags. He's like done some sorting.
Which is incredible.
Like some testing, I guess. Do these work? Do these not work? It doesn't work to test it when you put them in wrong. I'll tell you that.
It doesn't.
It's a wild ride.
Yeah. Do not trust that man with a remote. He's not going to give you a accurate assessment as to what's happened. I promise you.
It's a mess. And I just don't, I want him to stop, because you're frustrating yourself, you know? But here we are every day. Even though every day is a new day, there are, every day has some of the same behaviors. And that remote is going to, from the living room, will find its way onto their bed. And the remote for their bedroom will find their way under, you know,
bruh,
just stuff. I will find that remote on the ground in a box next to a picture in a pillowcase. I don't know what those people do when they go to sleep.
Man, lumber party.
It's a party.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Wowzers. There was something you were Michelle earlier said, I'm ready to fight both the atmosphere and also the failed medical system that does not give Morgan the care she deserves.
Thank you, Michelle.
There's so many things that I just see happening throughout life and TV and movies, and I'm just like, that's because we don't have free healthcare. It all ties right back to it. So much of it.
Man.
Look at that. See that over there? That's because we don't have free healthcare.
Also, getting seen, you know?
Tough.
I get that so many patients and, you know, scheduling is tricky. But scheduling is tricky when you're navigating these kind of debilitating
ailments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yesterday I was trying to make an appointment with my doctor, get some sort of like, let them know, this is what's happening. I need some sort of something that can give me relief from this pain. Like the pounding pain of a migraine, I think, is what sometimes makes me vomit. You know, like, it's just too much. And then it's blinding. And then you can't see right. And, you know, all the things and the stuff. And I really do love my doctor and everybody there. And still, there's just never an answer that isn't, here's a thing, go to the pharmacy.
Right.
That's gonna, it was like, oh, I'm so sorry to hear about your headaches. Call us to make an appointment. And I was like, I literally just tried. And I can't, you know, like, there's, talking is not as easy.
No.
having a conversation, not as easy. The synapses ain't firing the same way, you know?
So could you pull up my notes from the last conversation about everything that I told you happened last time I got a migraine? It's happening again. So yes, if you could just go to those notes, that'd be great. As opposed to me having to describe
rehash
it to you.
Rehash Yeah.
Whilst having a migraine.
It's just a little too tough.
Yeah. I can imagine.
It's just not a headache, you know? Yeah. And so when met with that, I'm also like, bro,
this is going to go bad. This is going to go poorly.
Yeah, this is not, you don't know what I mean. yeah, I don't know. I don't even know what I need. I'm trying every home remedy, every over-the-counter thing I have. Every migraine medication I've taken didn't do anything. Like, this is the pressure points, the ice pack, the heat pack, like everything. And it's just like, yep, still here, friend.
Well,
want to be with you.
There is some uncharted territory.
Okay. Well, I haven't gotten Botox. You're right.
You haven't gotten Botox. And I think you probably thought I was going to reference psilocybin. So, well, you know. Sure. I was thinking more along the lines of heroin.
Oh.
I don't believe you've tried microdosing heroin.
I have not tried microdosing that.
Yeah? Yeah? A little, you know.
Now, this is interesting.
Catch the migraine at its peak. A little bit of the Heron.
Mm-hmm. I have been in the throes of despair.
You have
the kind of pain that is indescribable, and I have maybe lightheartedly said, "Hey, while you're out, you should find me some heroin because it's the only thing that will probably help me right now."
I do recall these moments,
and I don't know that because I've never done it, but it seems like the only thing that could cut through. And then you go. Gasp, how dare you talk to me such a way? I would never find such an illicit street drug. And I don't even know who I would begin to speak with. How dare you? And then every time you come home empty handed. And so I'm honestly shocked to hear that this is your suggestion right now.
Well, no, I've arrived in a new place. All right. After numerous years of you prodding for me to bring home the heroin, I said, you know,
is this okay to do on the radio?
I believe so. I say, you know, she's been saying this for a lot of years. Maybe there's something to it. You know, then there was that battle with myself. I'm like, come on, it was just a joke. She doesn't really mean it. And then it was like, what if we go to jail? So, you know, there was just so much to think about, weighing everything. And that's what I do in my research. And I think there, we got some motion in microdosing. We got some motion in the microdose.
Somebody come help. Don't let my jokes all of a sudden. See?
I turned into quite the Laszlo. According to my tests.
Unbelievable.
Man.
Well.
You just need to finish mutating and let your powers manifest. That'd be it. It's taking for evs,
bro. It's taking really a long time.
It's taking for evs.
I was trying to describe to you yesterday, you know the sound of like whooshing? Like,
yeah, you said that.
Going past your ear, something
like highway sounds or something.
Yeah, but that's what it sounded like in my head all day yesterday.
Just regular sound around you sounded like that.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, man. If
that's something,
I need someone to just work on the movie. Michael Bay will have tons of explosions.
Okay, tell me what the movie is again. Because I feel like we're
the movie. It's breaking into the conspiracy behind why so many of you mutants that are having your powers are suppressed are being it's manifesting in migraines. That's what it's about. You know how you have different triggers?
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is a migraine because of goat cheese. This is a migraine because of barometric pressure. This is a migraine because I'm in bed and elevation is different. What's happening is those are different powers being suppressed in different ways. That's why you have those different triggers. But what are they using to suppress all you mutants' powers? Chloride in the drinking water.
What?
Well, it's got to be something that's common. Okay. It's got to be something.
Okay.
It's across the whole populace that works.
I wonder if Lily's listening. Lily, are you around? You and Ambush are just about the same with your conspiracies.
What do you mean? Very well thought out?
I mean, and maybe that's not even what I meant. Maybe me listening to the conspiracies, I'm like, fair. I want, okay, go on. I'm being suppressed.
It'd be super elaborate. And then, cheese.
And then there's chloride in the water. Oh, man.
Chloride in the water, aluminum in your deodorant. All of these things are being used to suppress your mutant abilities, and they're manifesting as migraines. Come on, man. Someone write the book. Put the movie out.
Michelle said... Oh, wait. I don't know who... Yeah. Michelle said, Ambush, you are such a liability. Oh, my God. That's amazing. Okay, this says...
Elaborate, madam.
This says, I don't have migraines, but once I almost cried because I was getting too hot.
Whoa.
I had biked to work fast, running late in my skinny jeans and t-shirt, clocked in, threw my scrubs on, and got stuck in the sweltering procedure room restraining a dog for the longest time. I overheated and the tears started percolating.
Whoa.
TLDR, don't wear clothes under your scrubs when you're a bouncer for animals, Loki.
Holy smokes.
Okay, first of all, fantastic story. I'm sorry that you got so hot that you almost cried. I have, in fact, gotten so hot I cried. I have that overheated.
That's a level of discomfort I've never, my Lord.
Happened within.
You started crying?
Listen.
Oh my God.
Have you ever been in an old people's house when it's so hot and you're working?
It's hot outside, it's hot inside, and they have the fireplace on.
And they have a fireplace on because they're cold. Because what are you talking about? And I have brought you a warm blanket. Please turn this fireplace off.
I beg, please.
It's so hot.
Oh no.
I'm about to start crying thinking about it. Oh my gosh, it's awful.
You're listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And then the Hale and Wheeler, Manzanita and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. Oh my gosh, that's harrowing. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Speaking of. Michelle said, out here prescribing God's own medicine on the air.
Well,
honestly, I'm gone from one show.
That's all it takes. It's
just all it takes.
And we're off the rails.
It's just.
Ambush, you are a liability, is the t-shirt.
That it's absolutely
the, it's
is.
It's the sweatshirt. It's the hoodie.
Yeah.
It's the trucker hat. Oh, my Hard gosh. Agree. Morgan, what are we talking about today?
Well, thank you for asking, Ambush. In local news, the Portland Police Union is getting in the way again. They're accusing city councilor of interfering with the new oversight board, which is never going to start and never going to be anything because the Portland Police Union won't stop being a group of aggrieved people that want no oversight or accountability.
Right.
And I can't wait to get into that one. And then, I don't know if you guys know this, but reparations are on the way.
Finally. Gosh, what do you got to do to get reparations around here? Finally. Thank you, Morgan. Thank you for that news.
Ask me again what you got to do to get reparations around here.
Yeah. I'm black. I'm in the Americas. What do I got to do? Where do I sign up? What application do I put in? How do I qualify?
Well, for the 1776 fund, I think probably not qualifying.
Oh.
Were you a rioter on January 6th?
Oh, no.
Have you been harmed by the Biden administration?
Well, yeah.
In your...
Oh. Am I what?
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, I've been harmed by the Biden administration, but then you said in your... What are the conditions?
Well, honestly, very vague. I think that your disqualifying factor may be the black, but
all right. Wow.
They were able to come up with a $1.776 billion to be exact. 1776. I will not let go of that. I will not say it is 1.8 billion. I will not say that.
No.
Because that is on purpose. So you give me the 1488 fund too, right?
That's good reporting actually, because it wasn't until you said it just now that I remember seeing it like one time.
Yeah.
That dollar amount was spelled out that way. It was 1.7, 1.7, 1.7 everywhere I looked. And then one place it was like 1.776. And I was like, why would they? That's interesting. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Why would they do that? To kind of, you know, who needs a dog whistle when you can have a fund for reparations for the aggrieved domestic terrorists?
Steve said you have to be able to scale a wall in order to get reparations. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Steve. Well, what if I can scale a wall? I just didn't scale that wall.
Ah.
Am I in?
I don't think so.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them that did not scale the wall. I'll tell you this. I watched that live, and I remember seeing a lot of people fall.
I should try to defraud them.
Obviously.
I should sign up for the reparations and be like, yeah, I was there.
I was there. I was arrested.
And aggrieved. Come on. Is there a record of my arrest? Of course not. Elon took care of that. Doged me out, bro.
And that is the best ever when you get doged out, I guess. I'm applying
for that crapola. 1.7 billion. How many of them are there? How are we doing the split? It's like class action lawsuit there.
I don't even know how they plan. We're going to get into that. Yeah. That's what we're talking about later today.
Right.
Can't go too far. Yeah. Ambush. Jeez Louise.
You're right.
We will be talking about the results and, you know, what we got from the midterms on Monday. Because you got to let the thing shake out.
You
got to see what happened. Other than, you know, I guess, going to get to have that old Drazen Kotek fight to the death.
Congress advances a bipartisan housing bill targeting corporate home buyers. Ooh, yeah.
You know, 27 years too late, but let's let's see what they've come up with.
Man.
Do I have time for just one more thing?
Yeah, before we hop into the music break? Yes,
yeah. You do. I'd seen a, I'm trying to find his name, apologies. The you know, directors of cancel culture, which I believe conservatives would say is the far left, you know, are the ones who are just canceling people left and right.
Yeah.
And you can't, you just can't do anything. Can't even get a Netflix deal once you get canceled. Oh, wrong. They were doing a bunch of the real canceling.
Oh.
If you'll remember when one Charlie Kirk was killed.
Yeah.
There was a man who posted a meme of Charlie Kirk on the day that there was another, like Trump was doing thoughts and prayers, condolences to a different shooting.
Right.
And I think that he said something to the effect of, we've just got to get over it. Like, that was Trump's quote. And this man is, I think, 61, retired police officer.
This is starting to sound familiar. He got arrested.
He posted the meme with the quote from the president saying, this seems applicable today, you know?
Yeah, he did it on Facebook.
Just got to get over it, bud. And yeah, they not only arrested him, but he spent a bunch of time in jail. And wow. A bunch of time, I mean, like a month.
For a meme, which is wild. I remember seeing them pick him up. I remember them coming to the house and saying, hey, did you post something online? Yeah, we got to take you in for that.
Yes. They basically said that the name of the place that Trump was referring to, there was a school with the name of that in their town.
Right.
Like Perry School or something. Right. I don't remember.
A threat or something.
And that all the citizens would take that as a threat. And they did, and everybody's terrified, and they think there's a school shooting coming.
Right.
Which wasn't real.
At all.
At all.
Nor the intention, none of it.
No. This man just received $835,000 in it winning his lawsuit for unlawful incarceration.
Nice. Sorry you had to go through that, but. Sheesh.
37 days behind bars for posting a meme. This is from the people that say no cancel culture.
Right.
Because freedom of speech. Because America.
Yeah. America.
Am I happy for this person? Absolutely. Should this person have gone to jail? Absolutely not. Shouldn't have been arrested? Absolutely. I think that the right thing to do is to pay citizens when you unlawfully arrest, incarcerate.
Yeah.
And I just can't help but to think how quickly that happened.
How quickly he received justice?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There was no delay here.
No.
Not saying that it should be, obviously. But there are people who I'm always interested in how we calculate these numbers. There are people who have spent decades in prison, not a month in jail.
Right.
Decades in prison. And there's a big difference between jail and prison.
Yeah.
But decades in prison, unlawfully, unjustly, and if they are lucky enough to be vindicated and to be released from that, oftentimes there's just sort of like, you know, years and years of, well, what do we do?
Right.
Well, how much is a year worth? How much, I mean, if somebody spent 20 years in prison,
bro,
falsely accused, falsely convicted, and you're like, what's a year worth? And this man spent 37 days in jail. and 835 gram. One, I wish that we didn't ever have to make these kind of calculations.
Yeah.
I certainly wish that nobody was being jailed falsely. And I also am like, how do we calculate this stuff? Why are taxpayers responsible for the epic failures of
the system?
Not just the system, because the system, but also what is that sheriff who went to, arrest that man because he was so upset?
Right.
I watched that body cam. It was wild.
Yeah. It was ridiculous.
Like, what's he doing? Just getting to work?
Just cost you guys almost $1 million and I'm back on the job. Cool. Cool.
And the amount of times that that's just the case.
Yep.
It doesn't have to be a sheriff falsely detaining somebody. It's an officer beating someone. It's an officer planting evidence on someone. It's an officer using, a traffic violation that may or may not have happened in order to pull you over, in order to search your car, in order to,
Right. Further violate you.
Those violations are supposed to mean something. They should have consequences. And those people should not just continue to run up a tab on us.
Yeah.
It's wild.
It's, yeah. I'm sorry. I got a little tripped up there. When I first saw the story, I couldn't believe, you're right. Like, that one sheriff was pretty upset.
Yeah.
It seemed like everyone else around it was like, yeah, apparently this is a thing we got to do. Even his attitude when he was being arrested was just like,
is this
okay,
real?
This real? All right, fellas.
Are okay, really doing this?
Got to do your job. Sure. What else? It's, the post on Facebook, but okay.
You can get arrested for that now?
Right.
Do you know what they put on Facebook?
Right.
Yo. The things that get me, honestly, you got Chud the Builder out here being on live stream. Literally antagonizing people.
Assaulting them,
harassing them. And, because we live in this part of
the timeline
that gets rewarded. There's a bunch of people that are like, no, he's so cool.
We got to make sure we can get his bail paid.
Yeah, we got to pay his bail.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to make sure that his, kids he doesn't have are all right.
Get out of here. Ridiculous. You ready for that music break?
Yeah. Sorry, I was just thinking about the GoFundMe should be
what is it?
Force him to cut his mustache.
What's that right wing GoFundMe called?
Give, send, go.
Give, send, go. Man, right there.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Anyway,
we'll be right back. I'm going to hit you with a little J-Lo.
No. And,
I was lying. I was just trying to get that reaction from you.
If J-Lo starts playing, I'm going to lose it.
You won't. You won't. I guess you got the other side. And we are back. That's what we are. We're right back at it. Welcome back to News My Fiance, Morgan Jones, and one DJ Ambush.
Two DJ Ambush.
Okay. Welcome back to News My Fiance with Morgan Jones and two DJ Ambushes.
Yes. Appetite.
Why that brought you so much joy, I do not know. You're like, yes.
Yeah. It's about the vibe.
Join the conversation, you guys. Shoot us a text at 971-220-5979. Again, that is 971-220-5979. We got some big changes coming for the show soon. And I hope you guys are going to be as excited as I am when it happens. Because I'm bubbling. I don't know if you can hear it. I am bubbling over with excitement.
Ooh. Is this called a teaser? Like, are you going to say anything other than that or just that?
Yeah.
Appetite.
Create some appetite.
Uh-huh. I was going to say, as you get into the next story.
Yeah.
Please stick with us, you know? This is a local story, but it matters to where you live, too.
Because police unions be unioning.
Exactly that.
Portland's largest police union has accused the city councilor of improperly influencing the city's newly formed police oversight system, escalating tensions over the long-delayed implementation of Portland's voter-approved Civilian Accountability Board. The complaint, filed by Portland Police Association President Aaron Schmaltz, alleges District 2 Councilor Samir Kunal interfered in the operations of the Community Board for Police Accountability.
Tomato.
Mm-mm. Sorry, I lost my place there. Okay, cool. According to a memo sent to Mayor Keith Wilson and top city officials in March, Schmaltz argued that Kunal overstepped by attending a CBPA meeting, presenting information to board members, and offering administrative support from his council office. The union claims Kunal's involvement compromised the independence of the oversight board, which was created through a 2020 ballot measure approved by Portland voters. The CPBA is part of Portland's new Office of Community-Based Police Accountability, a civilian-led system intended to independently investigate allegations of police misconduct and recommend discipline when appropriate. The board only recently began meeting and has not started hearing cases while it continues building staffing and operational infrastructure. Kunal defended his participation, saying he was invited by the board because of his prior experience helping design the city's police accountability framework before he was elected to the council. In a statement to the Portland Mercury, Kunal said he made clear during the meeting that he was only offering advice and historical context, not directing the board's decisions as an elected official. The police union's complaint also requests extensive records, including emails, text messages, and internal communications involving Kunal, his staff, and CPBA members. City officials confirmed they met with Schmaltz in April to discuss the grievance and said they are still evaluating whether any city rules or charter provisions were violated. Under Portland's charter, elected officials and city administrators are prohibited from interfering with the board's independent judgment. The dispute marks the latest chapter in a years-long fight between Portland officials and the police union over the civilian oversight system. The PPA has repeatedly challenged aspects of the reform effort, including board appointments and oversight authority. While supporters argue the system reflects the will of the voters seeking stronger police accountability after years of public criticism over officer conduct and transparency. I feel like there's so many other things the union could be doing right now other than this. But alas, Here we are, wasting the people's time yet again.
One of the things that really upset me is this was not I'm a city councilor and I want to come in and tell you guys about this stuff. He was invited by that board. He was asked to come and present information,
right,
on how they were, what was the framework that they were working with previously? What were they working on? What did they see that was, you know, what's important?
Right.
What are the things that we need to keep and what do we let go? This is a presentation. This isn't an implementation of an agenda.
Right. It was right? A strategy discussion.
And the way that particularly police union presidents, the way that they weaponize everything. I, my word. I mean, everything. this is not a moment of a biased person coming in and changing the game.
Right.
Does the police union feel better if they ask a police union representative to come and present to them as well?
Right. Why is that okay?
Would that be okay? Would that be like, these are the same people who believe that there should be police officers and police, you know, adjacent people on the board.
Right.
They want absolutely zero accountability. They do not want anybody from the outside to be able to say anything about any of their actions. And they don't want to lose the ability to, quote, police themselves. This is, they're trying to make it as if this board would lack legitimacy.
Right.
And that it's some far left idea to, you know, they are just weaponizing and politicizing things that are not that. And in all honesty, who is considered biased when it comes to a conversation about policing? They certainly feel that anybody harmed by the police is biased. They certainly feel that anybody who says that current policing seems like there needs to be some reform, which is laughable, but also a real bad word for them to hear, I guess. That's biased. Anyone who takes a peek and goes, maybe we shouldn't spend so much money on these results that we're getting here. Mm-hmm. They're biased.
Which is interesting because you named a bunch of different factions of people that, you know, are biased against police based on police behavior, right? But the police will tell you they don't misbehave. So which one is it?
So hello, bad apple or crate of apples,
right,
or system of corruption?
How can you have, you know, this large swath of people that are just up against you because they've been harmed by police? But at the same time, we don't do harm.
We don't do harm.
So,
which, and when we do harm, it's a bad apple, it's a lone wolf, and we get
incident,
rid of that person,
yeah,
which is also not true.
Yeah. Yeah.
But just accountability, the word alone, or is anti-police to police.
Yeah.
Like, that's just their perspective is, if you don't think we should get the power, the tools, the
immunity,
the unabashed ability to do whatever we want, you're anti-police.
Yeah.
Which is like a thing that some people are not okay being labeled as, you know, like,
sure,
they're like, I'm not anti-police. I just think that you can
do better
at your job.
Police want the ability to do a slow motion walk away from an explosion that they caused. Anything that hampers that is anti-police. They didn't want to think about who's going to clean up after this explosion. Now we got to divert traffic. How many fire trucks we got to call to solve this? What about what's happening to the other businesses in the strip mall that were affected by the explosion that you caused? They don't care about any of the ramifications and the trickle-down effect, domino effect, of their actions and how it impacts community. They just want to be able to cause the mayhem and walk away like a top shotter when they're done and be like, hey, had to do what we had to do. It's tough work out here. Lucky I made it home safe. Such a dangerous job.
As you were describing these things, all I could think of is different scenes from The Other Guys.
You daggone right.
Like,
yeah.
When they run through
the scene.
They run through a crime scene and it's just like cocaine everywhere.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, that's what popped in my head.
Yeah.
We were like, they don't think about who cleans this up. Like, yeah, who's out there vacuuming the cocaine off the streets?
Who's got to do that?
You know?
Who's
the getting it out of my car?
Yeah. The taxpayers will cover it.
And just the demeanor of, like, Mark Wahlberg's character is that.
Yeah.
It's we got to get to the action, you know? Like, there's
because he wants so much to be the other.
Crime to stop.
The other cops.
Yeah. There's crime to stop, but there aren't crimes to solve. Like, that movie is so great for so many reasons.
It is.
He is just being led around by, you know, his nose. He has no idea that you are on the tail of a humongous case. And you're like, hey, look over there. There's a, you know, petty thief. What?
It's very Pink Panther-ish. Very, Professor, what's his name? Inspector Jack Clouseau. Right there. You're so close. Do you remember the end credits for that? When they broke down, what was that, MLM?
Yes, the pyramid scheme that they were doing.
Oh my God, that was so good. I was like, wait, I'm learning in the credits. This is amazing. What's going on?
They did a great job.
They did such a good job. Whole joint. Yeah, I really think they need to stop wasting our time. You were constantly telling us there's so much crime, you just got to go get to it. Go get to it.
This was approved in 2020.
Yeah, it is six years later, bro.
6 years later, and we still trying to figure out how it's going to work.
I wonder who's been hampering the process.
Exactly. You don't wonder. It's been the police union.
Yeah.
I mean, the entire time.
So much for that public trust you said you care about and the transparency. Don't worry. We never committed you to it. We never thought you would, you really cared. We knew you were just saying things to say it the entire time.
I mean, it's positioning. I think that, when you spend 6 years trying to say, this is bias, this is interference, this is bias. We can't have this. That's anti-police. When you spend 6 years doing that, you're just building a case and you're trying, for the very first time that this board, if it ever gets to function, if it ever gets to actually do the thing it's supposed to do that we all said we wanted 6 years ago.
Right.
If it gets to do that, they're positioning themselves to delegitimize the process by saying, this is a group of biased people. Look at all the interference. And it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's a group of citizens that said, who was working on this last?
Pretty much.
Could we hear from the person who was working on this last? It has absolutely less to do with the fact that person is now a sitting counselor. And if that person wasn't a sitting counselor anymore, not anymore, but never was and still working on that, there would still be some claim of bias. There would be the anti-police person went to go do this presentation.
Yep.
It just so happens that Samir is an elected official. They're like, oh no, Max left, can't have it. We have to say absolutely not to all of these, not just roadblocks, but very heavily monetized and politicized groups that are willing to just obstruct.
Yeah. Yep.
Who just make it part of their job. So that this doesn't become a thing, so that they don't get the accountability. We have to make sure that this is not a thing they get to do. Because in all honesty, 6 years on, everybody should be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah.
Everybody should be ashamed. What do you mean this ain't been up and running? And we've talked about this a lot. I'm not saying that we expected it to be.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, how are you not? This is not the first iteration of accountability boards. This is not the first idea on how to at least try to hold some sort of give citizens a say.
Yeah. They're.
But it's a.
Go ahead.
It's a tactic that is futile, you know, to me. This is the kind of thing that is a, you think you can reform it. You cannot reform American policing. This is all baked in. The corruption is baked in. The union corruption is baked in. The union's doing the, we're going to make sure that qualified immunity gets given, granted to this officer who did the worst thing you could do as an officer. You know, like, it's baked in.
You would think they would distance themselves away from that type of behavior and that type of officer, you know, again, giving us the singular bad apple lone wolf explanation for this behavior. You'd think they just want to, hey, you know what? Get him on out of here. Instead, we got to make sure our officers are protected when they're violating people's rights. There's that level of consistency, though, with anything that involves oversight with Portland Police Bureau. We remember how long it took to get the body cameras, you know. No matter how many times they violated, you know, the feds. And it was like, y'all need to do this immediately. We're on it, guys. We're just trying to figure out what batteries you want to get for these cameras.
You know, ordered them from Amazon. That overnight didn't happen.
Did not happen. And now we need to look into that. So we're going to hire some consultants to figure out how come we didn't get our cameras overnight. And that's going to take a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got to investigate it.
Yeah.
I think for me, oh, sorry.
No, I was going to say, the other thing I was going to say is, like, I'm with you in the way, like, the citizens, we just got to say no. We just got to, look, we asked for a thing to happen. Consistently, this police commission has gotten in the way. The union has gotten in the way. Y'all need to find new union leadership, something. Because we can't keep running back and forth to the negotiation table, and you're just not budging. This is what we're trying to accomplish here, is what the people have voted on. This is what the citizens are asking you to do.
And they don't want to.
Right.
But they don't want to.
They just don't want to.
You just said they need new leadership. They don't. Their leadership is doing exactly what they want their leadership to do.
Yeah.
They are lobbying politicians. They are influencing budgets. They are helping shape legislation. They are influencing prosecutors. And, you know, it's more than saying no. And I fully agree with what you're saying. It's just that their leadership is doing exactly what they want their leadership to do. I think, you know, for us, we have to sit with, like, why police accountability systems are often required to be perfectly neutral. Perfectly neutral. You've got to be fully objective. You can't have previous thoughts about policing or breaking the law or whatever.
Any of it. But if you're a cop, you're it.
But in ways that policing itself is never, ever forced to be.
Yeah.
Policing itself, there is nobody even
question the biases.
It's pretending that the biases don't exist anymore. You know, like, they actually are supposed to be neutral. You are supposed to be, there are ways that you are supposed to police and ways you are supposed to uphold laws that we know for certain isn't what happens.
Yep.
We know for certain that some people are getting looked at differently than other people. Just a little more suspicious.
If I had an anti-cop tattoo, they would not allow me to serve on that board. Oversight board. But if I'm a cop with a swastika, I can be a cop.
Hello.
Interesting.
I think that's worth sitting with.
Interesting. Take a music break and we will be right back. The incomparable, incomparable Luther Vandross, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to News My Fiance with Morgan Jones and two DJ Ambushes right here on X-Ray FM.
Yes.
During the conversation, shoot us a text at 971-220-5979. Again, that is 971-220-5979. MGZ.
That's Meezy.
Tell to me. Talk to me about this fund, if you will, this settlement of sorts.
Hate fund.
Yeah, hate fund is what we're calling it.
Yeah. Okay.
Hate defense fund.
As we started to talk about fiancés, this is one of those really clear examples of who this country decides deserves repair and who doesn't. Because somehow the Trump administration has found nearly $1.8 billion. And when I say nearly, I mean $1.776 billion. I don't think that number is accidental, friends. I'm just going to keep saying that. You may have heard it earlier. I'm saying it again. A 1776 fund is not on accident. And this fund is for people claiming that they were victims of the Biden administration. What'd you say? Ambush, were you harmed? Did you say?
I, too, was harmed by the Biden administration.
And I'm hopeful that there's a way for you to
get some recoup. Reps. Yeah, man.
I do have to say that I find it interesting, you know, that reparations for Black Americans are still supposedly too complicated.
Far too complicated.
To even chat about.
I mean, who do they go to? Who's Black? Who's American?
Who's Black?
Who's both?
Who's American? Who's been impacted by any of the harm that has happened to Black folks? Well, it couldn't be the people who aren't from here.
No.
Who weren't immediately
impacted
by, you know, America's fantastic version of slavery.
Yeah, not those Africans in America.
No.
No.
No, that'd be different because they're certainly treated 1,000% differently.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All those Black people from other places get treated totally differently the whole time they're here.
Man.
And also anywhere else in the world. Anyway.
Yeah.
But just, you know, thinking about how anytime Black folks bring up reparations for slavery or Jim Crow or redlining or mass incarceration or stolen labor, stolen wealth, housing discrimination, medical experimentation.
You know, all the documented stuff.
Environmental racism. Suddenly America turns into an accountant, you know, and it's just, we're worried about the process.
We're not worried. We don't know where to start. We got to, you know, look at the coding, figure this out.
Well, first, we're going to have another study.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to need another study. And we're going to need a commission to do that study. And we're going to need another election cycle. And we'll need another 10 years of debate before we do another study.
Before we do another study, yes. Because in 10 years, we'll be due for another one.
Well, you know, like a census.
Yeah.
Are there even still Blacks here?
Hello.
Well, should we even still continue with this conversation? We don't know.
Yeah.
Are there? How many of you are there?
Do people still really want this?
Yeah.
How do we know? Let's find out.
We should probably check in. Just, we'll do another study.
Yeah.
But when it comes to Trump allies, especially January 6th folks, I guess the money just apparently materializes overnight. And I know you're saying, Morgan, you're doing a lot of talking. What is actually happening? Yeah. Trump's DOJ announced that they're calling the anti-weaponization fund tied to Trump's lawsuit over leaked tax returns. This is all so full-blown corruption.
Yeah.
That it's silly that we can be here.
In broad daylight.
You know how many adults are a part of this? Like.
Right.
Okay. Back to what I'm supposed to be saying. anti-weaponization fund tied to Trump's lawsuit over his leaked tax returns. And this fund could distribute $1.776 billion to people claiming they were unfairly targeted by the federal government under Biden. I'm sure there will never be a fund for you to, if you were unfairly targeted by the Trump administration, yeah, as he has, you know, illegally detained and deported so many people, completely lawlessly, just out here unabashedly doing all sorts of crimes, doing the criming.
Wow.
And the harming, but we won't be able to recoup from that, I guess. Anyway, this does in fact include potentially January 6 rioters, and the administration has not ruled that out. They certainly specifically have not said definitely not the domestic terrorists.
Right.
And I think that that should, in fact, radicalize you because we're talking about people who assaulted not just police officers on camera.
Right.
They tried to overturn the election. They tried to overthrow the government.
Usurp the government.
Like, I know that we know how big of a deal that is.
Yeah.
But, like, sometimes you just got to sit in the fact that, like, you tried to usurp the government, and you now not only have all of the consequences been already wiped away for the most part. These people have been pardoned.
Yeah.
These people are back to regular scheduled programs.
Yeah. Or their station in life has increased.
Or it's increased. Or they get to be like, I was, you know, falsely accused or imprisoned or whatever it is that they tell themselves.
Victim of the system.
A victim of the system. And meanwhile, you know, Black Americans still can't get serious federal movement on reparations after centuries of documented government-sanctioned harm. And the wild part is, for me, is that America has actually done reparations before. Not in the way that they should have, and certainly not in... Not, it wasn't, it didn't repair, I'll say. But Japanese Americans received reparations after internment camps. Indigenous communities have received settlements over land theft and discrimination. Again, absolutely not what to the degree that it needs to be. Absolutely not. Some sort of form of true atonement or, you know, redemption.
Nor did it create prevention.
Zero prevention, as if these same groups of people aren't still discriminated against, right, as if the same groups of people aren't still having systemic pressure and harm. But my point of bringing that up is that the issue has never actually been, can the government do it? Because the government absolutely can. The issue is, who does America believe deserves repair? And if you are aligned with whiteness, if you are aligned with conservative political power, nationalism, the empire, you know, the country can somehow suddenly move very fast for you.
Yeah.
And this is not my point is not to be like, but Black people deserve, and you know what I mean? My point is to say just how quickly things can be found for the things that they don't, you know, like.
Yeah.
For the things that they care about.
Yeah.
Centuries of talking about actual systemic built-in harm to, I mean, really, people do not understand. Folks were still being lynched in the 80s.
Yeah.
and celebrated, like the picnics, the white folks being excited. That was still happening in the 80s. The Klan was resurging at the end of the 70s. Yeah. And I don't know what we think is happening right now, but when you have people like a Chud the Builder out here doing exactly the what you would expect from the lineage of people that danced while watching someone burn or ate dinner while watching someone hang. I would expect this from that lineage. But you've got someone out here who is doing exactly that. Doing that kind of harm. Mm. And the only reason this person is currently being held to account for anything is because he shot someone and himself outside of a courthouse.
Yeah.
Like, and this is the kind of fund that would pay that man.
Oh, for certain.
And this is the kind of fund that the people getting money from that are going to send money to that man.
Yeah.
It may not have sounded like it was going to connect, but it did.
Oh, it connected.
Oh, you looked at me with the eyebrow raised.
No,
you know?
No, that wasn't about that. More so about Caesar's text.
Oh, didn't see it yet. See, I got to stay. I got to stay on track.
He said the funny part about it is the MyPillow guy said he lost about $400 million due to an unjust Biden administration. So the Americans are going to get screwed by big business once again.
Oh, well, absolutely.
The fund isn't for the poor folks. They think it is.
Absolutely not. Thank you, C's, for getting me to the bigger point. Isn't capitalism fun? Don't you really love this game? Isn't it like when you win Monopoly and you're just rolling in the bucks that are pink and blue and yellow and you're like, I finally made it, and then you still can't pay your rent? Because you're not doing the capitalism with the real money, which all that's all you need to do. Stop eating avocado toast and buy a house. Anyway, isn't capitalism fun? You get to rile up all of the people that have supported you, that have, you know, maybe lost their homes in an effort to show everybody how big of a Trump supporter they are. Maybe lost their farm, you know, maybe no more workers because they said, get the migrants out of here. Oh, whoops, but not mine.
Not my migrants.
You know?
Wrong migrant.
No, it won't be y'all. It will certainly be the MyPillow dude and whatever other business.
Humpies.
Certainly. Whatever other business that isn't already getting all our money from defense contracts. You know? Like, Elon doesn't need money from this one because he's already getting all our money from X, Y, or Z. And so-and-so's right. Getting all our money from X, Y, and Z. And so is Google, and so is so-and-so. So, you know, what's his name? Like, Liddell? Or what?
Yep, Mike Liddell.
So, Liddell's got to go to the other fund.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't build anything that could...
Get a
defense contract or, yeah. You know, maybe they can put the MyPillows in the prisons. I don't know. Those pillows suck. How do I know? My parents bought three.
Oh.
How did they know about it? I have absolutely no idea.
Oh, goodness.
The pillows are awful. Made-for-TV things are pretty much just its own level of
super, yeah.
Super gross capitalism.
Yeah.
Want to buy something that breaks?
Wait till we put that blue screen up and there's ordering information. You're listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And then the Hale and Wheeler, Manzanita and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. Whenever you do an overhead stretch like that, it is so, like, hard to resist tickling. And I know...
I'm listening.
And I know it's that's the worst thing you can do to somebody in a stretch like that. You're just like you're injecting the tension that they're trying to release by stretching.
Yeah.
It's a completely countering effect, but I'm just, you know, intrusive thought for me there.
Here's the thing. I appreciate being told about it.
Yeah.
Especially since it wasn't done. Oh, yeah. Bree gave me one of those yesterday. This is also something I do. I tell you all the time. I very badly wanted to like tickle you right then. Yeah. And I didn't. You don't always, you know, respond like a person untickled, but or poked. I don't know.
No, it's usually because the way you deliver it is like you now want to be rewarded for resisting that temptation.
Hmm.
That's usually how you present it. Like, yeah, you know, I could have tickled you there, but chose not to. And yeah, I think you need to know that. It's like, is this an acceptance speech? What's going on?
I deserve this. That is going to be my acceptance speech. Thank you. I deserve this. As I walk away with my Oscar, my Tony, my Grammy. What's the other one?
Oscar, Tony, Grammy... Emmy.
That's how you get the E and E guy.
That's how you get the E. So you said, and like Morgan said, my pillow guy will return the money back to its rightful owner.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Guys.
Well, he also said, you all just didn't figure out that you just need to install an autocrat who can steal the money from the government and give it to you. Easy mistake
Michelle.
To make. Oh, that was Michelle?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Easy mistake.
Easy mistake. Everyone misses that.
Yeah.
You're right, Michelle. Everyone misses that.
And honestly.
Yeah. Who can blame them?
Who can blame us for making that mistake? You know? I'm just, I'm at the point of just wanting to scream. You know? Like, a lot, all the time. And that isn't new.
No.
Like, that's not new. I don't know. How often in the cycle do you get back to, like, that level of rage before it starts over?
Blaze said, loving couples tickle.
Oh.
Also, you're egotistical.
Literally going in my bio.
I love it.
That is amazing.
I love it.
I will never have any of those things. And you're right.
So egotistical. You guys.
That is so funny. I've hurt my head. Thank you. That was quite the day maker.
Thank you, Blaze.
That was Blaze.
Yeah.
I.
They came back and said, LOL, no, you're actually very humble.
Blaze, you made my day. Egotistical is fantastic.
Like, you didn't know that about her.
Wow. Yeah.
It's like the worst kept industry secret. She's so egotistical.
That is just fantastic.
It is. It is. Guys.
We you deserve this.
You just okay. Yeah. Guys, you deserve this. That was another News of My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush times two. Thank you for
joining us. Three people on the show.
You know what I'm saying? Our illustrious podcast editor, Kyle G of Residual Audio. The text will be added because Kyle does an amazing job of that as well. Music playlist updated. And you know the deal, my friend. Don't let the individuals distract you from the systems. Poverty is a positive choice. People over profits. Power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. And we will catch you Monday night, 6:30 to 8:30 on the YouTubes.
Be there, you squares. Subscribe, button, bell, share, comment, hype. things like that. Also, keep telling X-Ray you love us. Okay, bye.
You're listening to Stay Tuned for Tom Hartman.